PCJ Radio would like to make you a winner. PCJ Radio is giving away three Texan 920 World Band receivers to three lucky winners in June, July, and August. In September, we are having a grand giveaway of a brand new SanGen ATS 909X worth $399 to one lucky winner. To enter, let us know how you heard this program with the date and time, and answer the following very simple question. What does radio mean to you? You can send your entries to ATS909X at gmail.com. Again, that's ATS909X at gmail.com. If you wish to enter by snail mail and receive a small thank you gift for entering, you can find our postal address at www.pcjmedia.com. Winners will be announced on a monthly basis on Media Network Plus. So, good luck!
This is the son of PCJ.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Hello and welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. I'm standing next to a fountain. And we are in Avoche, Western Switzerland, Western French-speaking Switzerland, in the canton or state of Vaud, V-A-U-D. Beside me, I'm joined by Janet Coleman, who's actually English, but lives in this area. Janet, welcome to Switzerland in Sound. How long have you lived in this area?
We've lived in Switzerland for 32 years. I've learned a lot about Avoche since I came here, when they were looking for guides to do tours in English, and I thought, that's for me.
Sounds just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
Well, let's use the other name as we walk away now. We use the other name, the older name of Avoche, and it sounds very Latin. It's Aventicum. And there's a very good reason for that, Janet, isn't there?
Yes, this town here, this fairly quiet and sleepy little town of Avoche, in fact, used to be a very large Roman civil installation, so a large civilian town with up to about 25,000 people population.
And more than today?
Very much more than today. The present figure's at about 2,500.
Oh, so one-tenth that,
exactly.
Something like that. Now, why was it so important in Roman days?
The Romans chose this place here to install their capital of what was then Helvetia. The Romans came into this area after 58 BC, is when the sort of known history of this area starts.
Mm-hmm.
The Helvetians of that time.
We have a bus with some visitors here coming, and we're standing right in the road. I think we'd better be diplomatic and do the wiser thing and move away.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about moving away, that's exactly what the Helvetians decided to do in 58 BC.
They didn't like the Romans?
No, they hadn't actually up to that point had any contact with the Romans. They decided they didn't like Helvetia. We don't know why,
mm-hmm.
But there was a vast migration of the population.
Hard to imagine. It's so beautiful here. This is the Lake District. I mean, who could think of a better place to live? It's mild, the climate, and so on.
Well, they decided that Aquitaine in France was a much better region. However, Julius Caesar, who was in Gaul at that time, in that region, was not at all pleased with the idea that the Helvetians should move out. And he met them at a place called Bibracte, and there was a large battle.
And I wonder who won.
You can guess right, it was the Romans. The Helvetians were fierce fighters, but faced with the power and organization and armament of the Romans, not a hope.
They were almost literally massacred, right?
They were massacred.
Yeah, yeah.
On the other hand, since they'd moved out with, I mean, it's only the men who were in the battle. All the women, children, old folks were left. Normally, in those days, they would have been sold into slavery or something. That was the sort of normal follow-up to a battle like that. Julius Caesar said, go home. But, of course, the battle with Julius Caesar had alerted Rome to the what was happening in this area.
These are not quiet, settled people. We have potential problems with the Helvetians.
Exactly. On the other hand, they do seem to have been a people that adapted very well to Roman rule once it arrived. Mm. There's a gap between 58 BC and 12 BC. We know that in 12 BC, the town was already paying taxes to Rome. It was already on the books. But the very first houses here would again have been wooden houses, so there's very little trace left of the earliest buildings here. The stone building began somewhat later, and most of the important sites like this amphitheatre we're going to visit, which we're already approaching now, mm-hmm. The amphitheatre was built in about 135 AD. The temple of the so-called Cigogne, the Stork's Nest Temple, and the theatre, they were a little earlier. They were about 100 AD. Aventicum does require a little imagination. All right, the amphitheatre not.
This is absolutely splendid. Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly well preserved.
A lot of the other buildings, all that's left are the bases of the walls and the foundations, and there you do need a bit of imagination.
Except the bath, the Roman bath, the thermal bath is very intact. At least one doesn't need too much imagination there. You can imagine how it looked.
Exactly, yes.
I heard sometime, somewhere, that this was a favorite place of retirement among the Roman military, especially, and high officials.
Grants of land were given to retired military men once this town had been called a colonia, which was in 72 AD.
A colony, then.
A colony. Mm-hmm. And that's when they were given grants of land. Whether they were actually able to choose grants of land, I don't know.
Or until this is what you're getting. This is your severance pay. Enjoy it.
I suspect it might have been that, because I sometimes, I mean, it's a beautiful day today, but I have to admit, sometimes I take groups round when the weather is not
dreary.
All one could wish, and I sometimes think the Romans must have hated this when it was like this.
Well, it certainly wasn't Rome, was it?
No, but even so, yes, this is the case. The grants of land were given to retired, mostly to retired military gentlemen, who came and built themselves very fine villas, often a little way out. Valon is one example near here. There was another very large villa just a little outside the town they found. So they would build themselves a large house, gardens,
a couple of slaves to look after them,
probably lots of slaves depending on how rich and wealthy they were.
That was one way, early way, to avoid stress. Let somebody else do all the work.
Exactly, yeah.
And we laugh about it today, but that was probably no pleasant life for a slave.
I'm not defending the system or anything, but no, slaves in fact were not always badly treated. Sort of films and so on always show them being whipped and starved and whatnot. In fact, a good slave was a valuable piece of property.
Like a maid or a butler today,
yeah.
Except that those people in the modern day are paid.
So he or she actually did form to a certain extent part of the family, and as long as they behaved themselves and worked in a reasonable sort of way, in fact, they were probably quite reasonably treated as well. It's true that the owner had the right of life or death on his slaves, so...
They were property.
They were property.
Yeah. In fact, I think according to Roman law, the head of the household, the father and husband at the time, even had the right of life and death over his family.
Yes, this is also true,
At the amphitheatre, I think many, many events are done. For example, in July, there's a music festival and other events. I mean, operas have been performed here as well. Mm-hmm. So there's always some life in the amphitheatre. It's not just a relic or some ruin.
No, the amphitheatre is regularly used for at least three major events during the year. The opera in the summer. In the month of July, obviously a different opera each year, a very spectacular occasion each time. It's really wonderful. A slight risk, of course, thunderstorms, but that's the weather, that's the way life is. Shortly following the opera, there's a rock festival, Rocco Zaren, And not every year, but every few years, there's now also what they call the musical parade, which is military bands, not just Swiss ones, but also ones invited from other countries as well.
There's also a rather rich museum, which is part of this as well. I imagine much of what's been excavated here is in the museum.
They have put in the museum as much as they have room for, but the museum does need more place. On an open day, I have seen some of the storerooms and so on where they have other objects which they simply don't have the room to display. Everything in the museum has been found here. I mean, it's not a museum where collections have been made. In other words, every object in there, be it large or small, has been found somewhere here. The exhibitions are very well arranged. The lowest floor has this for physical reasons, the largest, heaviest thing. On the other hand, on the first floor, a selection of the objects, a very good selection of the objects arranged in different sort of windows, explains the Romanization of the Helvetians. The second floor shows everyday objects, including a realistic representation of a Roman kitchen where all the pots and saucepans and cooking utensils of all types on display, although arranged as in a room, in fact are all genuine Roman things. Rather than putting them behind glass, they are arranged so that people can actually see how they were used by putting food in them.
Does anyone have any idea, Janet, what is lying beneath the ground or maybe beneath the more modern houses here? I can only speculate there must be lots and lots still in the ground to be uncovered.
Up on the hill where we still are, next to the amphitheatre here, to their knowledge, apart from the amphitheatre, there were not any Roman houses up here. Down below us, one can see from the edge of the amphitheatre, you can see the temple, which we mentioned, the Cigogne, and the theatre, which is in a direct line behind it against the hills. The forum and the other houses or the habitation were on the level ground at the bottom. Mm-hmm. The wall surrounding the town, on the other hand, follows the line of the hills, the crests of the hills all the way around.
And you find still the remnants of the wall, the protective wall up there, the ramparts as well.
There are large parts of original wall still to be seen, most of the way around, behind the railway station, out towards in the direction of Morton.
It's a sizable settlement here.
The wall is nearly 6 kilometres long and had 73 towers around it, but the town didn't extend that far either. As I said, the houses and all the important public buildings essentially were on the flat ground. Going up towards the wall, it was more gardens and orchards, a few pigs, chickens, and that sort of thing.
All self-contained. In other words, they were self-sufficient here, basically.
They were pretty well self-sufficient.
Yeah.
No, this was a very important place.
What happened to it?
It sort of faded away. It was never actually conquered by some mighty army. It was the decline of the Roman Empire itself, sort of in Italy, in Rome, which was taking place already towards the end of the at the end of the 4th century. That was getting, which meant that Romans were being recalled to Italy, the military were being recalled to Italy. Although this place was a civilian town, the few military men who were still here would perhaps have been called back to Italy. Without defence of any sort, then tribes did start coming in from the north, but the place was used as a large stone quarry. It was never smashed to pieces. The medieval town here just behind us is largely made of stone taken from the other buildings.
Because at the time they didn't have any sense of history about it.
I don't know if you noticed in the churches we walked past, there are a couple of things that look like seats in almost at the bottom of the outer wall of the church. Well, those are probably off either the temple or the forum. They're large passes of sculptured stone, in fact.
Excuse me just a moment, Janet, because I see that there are a number of visitors coming through here, and I hear French, I hear English. Where are you from?
Montreal.
Canada.
That's right.
Okay, well, what do you think of what you're seeing here, the Roman ruins and so on?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Everything is so nice, and I'm a feel of the city and the life that people are doing. I like especially the small streets and
looks pretty gardens. Laid back here, doesn't it?
Exactly. I envy all those nice garden in the back and the flowers and everything. It's just a nice feel. Really. Yeah.
And are you the other half of the lady?
Yes, I'm another half. the Egyptian half.
Oh.
The Egyptian Canadian
half.
Egyptian
Canadian.
Yeah.
Well, you had to deal with the Romans too, way back
That's
when.
That's exactly what it is, yeah. There's a lot of ruin here, which is similar to what we have, especially in Alexandria, which is like, you know, the Odeon Theater and columns, which the Roman columns, which you saw. But really what impressed me here is the architect. It's really completely different, especially the way everything is kept here. It's nice and clean, and it looks like it's renovated inside, but outside they're trying to keep this rustic or this old feeling, which is really, really very impressive.
Yeah. Well, be very honest, you had to make time in your agenda, your itinerary to come here. Was it worthwhile?
Yes. Yes,
you
sure.
would do it again?
Yep, anytime.
Yeah, well, actually, she would like to buy a house here.
Oh, that says everything. Well, if you'd been part of the ancient Roman army, they would have given you a piece of land. Thank you so much. Enjoy your stay in Switzerland and a good trip back to Montreal. Thank you. Avanche in French, or Aventicum, which was the name during the Roman days. This was the capital of what is now Switzerland under the Roman occupation. Really worth the visit. Jana, thank you so much indeed.
Thank you.
From Aventicum, in the shadow of Julius Caesar. Standing at the edge of a river. We are in Bad Ragaz. Bad, B-A-D, has nothing to do with something not good. It's a German word for bath. And that gives the hint that we are actually at a spa. In fact, we're at one of Switzerland's oldest spas. Some people speculate it may actually be the oldest, although it's not clear. But when you get that old as a spa, it doesn't really matter too much anymore. We are in eastern Switzerland. You might say, North American-wise, sort of a tri-state area, but I have to explain that. We are in the southeastern corner of the canton, or state of St. Gallen, and just a couple of miles away is the canton of Graubünden, also known as the Grissens, which is Switzerland's largest canton or state. And right over in front of us, we see some mountains, which are actually part, I believe, or we can see part of the Principality of Liechtenstein from here, which is a completely different country with a prince, and it's almost like a fairy tale. In fact, speaking of fairy tales, this area in general is referred to as Heidi Land, referring to the famous story by Johannes Spyri, the Swiss writer from Zurich, who came to Bad Ragaz and used part of this in her story of Heidi. But we're going to get to those details later on. Right now, I'd like to welcome Theresia Ling to Switzerland in Sound. Theresia, you are a native of Bad Ragaz. You were born and raised here, and in a way, you're sort of a Heidi yourself.
Oh dear, no, I'm not a Heidi, because actually the Heidi story, it's nice to be around here, because it's a very nice area. We are embedded in the Rhine Valley, so to speak, but the river where we're standing at the moment goes directly into the Rhine, and it's called Tamina. Mm-hmm. And it comes from the gorge, the Tamina Gorge, which is a couple of miles away from here, which is a warm spa, already mentioned in the 13th and actually in the 11th century.
And it comes out at what, 37 degrees Celsius, I think, constantly.
I'm sorry, it's exactly 36.6 degrees.
Well, you really are being very precisely Swiss, aren't you?
Exactly. And that's because actually they studied about this water, because they couldn't imagine that it could stay all the time the same temperature. And actually the water which comes out of the gorge is 10 and a half years old. Hmm. Can you imagine? It went through all...
Been down in the ground that long.
Exactly, in the ground, and pushed up again, of course.
So that's real mineral water.
Of course it is real mineral water.
You mentioned the Rhine River a few moments ago. ago, and it's literally, what, a mile downstream?
Exactly. And lot walks, I mean, for hours. And even with the bike, you can
it's
go
a cyclist
longer.
Dream,
it's
isn't it?
A cyclist
it?
Dream as well. You can go from here, actually, from Bad Ragaz to Liechtenstein within 20 or 30 minutes.
Well, the Rhine separates Switzerland
exactly.
and Liechtenstein.
Exactly.
You walk over a bridge. No customs. You're just in the middle of the bridge is a sign that says, welcome to Liechtenstein. And when you go back, it says, welcome to Switzerland.
Exactly. And they even have the same money as we have.
Yeah. You don't dare tell them that they're virtually part of Switzerland, because they are a sovereign country with, of course, a prince. But in terms of everyday practical business and as far as the average public is concerned, there's hardly any difference at all.
Not at all. No, that's right, except that they have no tax to pay, so many tax to pay as we.
It's a low tax area.
Exactly.
Okay, well, Theresia, we were talking about the water and the spa tradition, this ancient spa tradition here in Bad Ragaz. We have to make our way up because we are going to a modern version of the spa, and we'll get back up on the little road. It's actually a very, very narrow street here in the village, and there's a very nice bridge going across. The village itself here is so picturesque. These buildings are so well kept. How old are some of these?
Well, you find most of them, the older buildings which you see here, are from the 18th, 19th century. Just like the area where we're going to now, even the park that's when Mr. Bernhard Simon at 1668 started building up a lovely park with, he had the opportunity, or he had to build an area where people could stay here and for their well-being, of course, and use the spa.
It reminds me very much of the Italian or North American approach to parks, the public park. It's very similar.
That's right. Mostly before that, it used to be just for the guests who came here.
Uh-huh.
The public wasn't so much allowed to go in there. They even didn't want to, because you have to think, Bad Ragaz used to be, up until this 18th century, was a poor countryside, which the people knew it, of course, but most of the people were just farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, when all these kings and queens and whoever they were came over here from Russia, even.
It was because of the spas they came.
It was because of the spas, and of course, the people from the town didn't actually want to be mixed with them. So, therefore, it was closed before, but now it's open, and everybody can, of course, take a walk around here.
We just passed a mini golf range here before, but you also have full-scale golf, don't you? Golf?
Exactly. We have an 18-hole golf course, and it's going to be joined very soon by a 9-golf on top of it. It's one of the nicest, actually, in Europe, they say.
Hiking, ordinary, just walking. There's horseback riding that can be done here in the summer. Everything you would imagine, the classic alpine summer sporting activities. But what about the winter? You don't have skiing right here in the village. It's not really a ski resort in that sense, is it?
In that sense, it isn't. But we got our house mountain, the Bitzol, which, of course, every child... I started to ski here around in the area. We just walked out the door and went up there. 10 minutes, we were up 2,200 meters, which is a fabulous view all over the Rhine Valley and even up to the Bodensee.
Mm-hmm. You could see of Constance.
Lake of Constance, of course, which if in a nice day like today, you feel the breeze anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have been here before, and you do have a fairly stiff breeze every once in a while. This is the legendary Föhn, isn't it? That warm wind that comes from the mountains, from the south.
Exactly. This is one of our oldest citizens, definitely, which always passed through here and took the bad weather away. Actually, the area here is well known as the area where it rains the least, you know, because of this south wind.
Mild and dry, which is very good for many ailments, especially pulmonary ailments. Lung diseases used to be treated here. That was very common in centuries gone by.
And not just for illness, also for the wine. We have a lovely vineyards all along here, if you look around.
I was going to ask you.
If you take a look across here where we're standing, where actually Heidi's home is, and at the Falknis and the Vilan, the mountains in front of us, which are about 2,100 meters high, that's actually on their foot is where the Rhine is cultivated, along here, along the Rhine.
You mentioned Heidi Land, and you see this on the highway as you drive by. Welcome to Heidi Land. It's not a theme park. It's not Disneyland in that sense. But the whole area, the region, is referred to as Heidi Land because of the famous story, which has been translated into so many languages, almost as many as the Bible, I'm told. And in any case, if anyone who knows the story, maybe knew it as a child, would like to experience the feel of the place, like Johanna Spitti did. She might have stood on that bridge where we were and was inspired looking at this area. This is where Heidi was at home in the story.
Actually, yes. It's the Johanna Spitti was inspired by the area because she was invited here, and she also, I think she also used our spas.
Well, let's finally, on our walk through Bad Ragaz, go into the 5-star Grand Hotel. Obviously, we're moving up a great deal in the class ranking here. Have you been in here much yourself?
Well, at some occasion, of course, because there is also a restaurant for the public now, new, the Olive, which is very nice. It's Mediterranean. And
it's like something for me.
Yeah. Yes, and people, of course, we are sort of like more Mediterranean.
You have an influence from
the
south, don't
you? Exactly, that's true. Yeah. Because of this south wind, you know, which brings us always the nice climate.
And you're also heavily Romanized here.
Yes, definitely. That's definite, you know. And but on the other hand, you can come here easily for a drink in the evening if you wish. There's no doubt about it. And as they open up the restaurant for the public.
And normal prices.
Normal prices, yes, of course. I mean.
Well, we've walked into another area here in the Grand Hotel. This is the public area. There are different pools here, several of them, as a matter of fact, for the guests only and also for the public. Here's a picture on the wall, the way it looked. Oh, how old is that picture?
As you can see, it's made out of wood at the sides. And the water.
Not much luxury there.
Not at all, not at all, not at all.
Incidentally, what medically is known about the water? What is it used for? What's it recommended for?
It's mainly recommended for rheumatism, but for anything, because also for the veins, you know, apparently.
Circulation.
Circulation in the old time. They use, apparently, the water gets the blood pressure much easier through your body. It just happens that people can walk better, they can breathe better after, even for the lungs.
As a preventive measure, people would do this.
That's mainly used at the moment for that. That's why the spas are so important nowadays, that people prevent the illnesses and they feel relaxed also in an area like this, which you can see.
There are extensive medical facilities not only available to guests in the Grand Hotel, but also in the village. Quite a few specialists here.
Exactly. The public is, a lot of people get sent here, especially for their illnesses. And we have around here in the area 20 doctor specialists who take care of the people from anywhere around.
Well, we're nearing the end of our visit to Bad Ragaz in eastern Switzerland. We've just come outside to a public pool, a beautiful one here, with rocks planted all around it. It looks very majestic, very natural, very rugged. And there goes the I think jacuzzi function there behind us, and there's the gambling casino over there, very discreetly done right against the base of the mountain to the south here. On the medical facilities here again, though, Theresia, I think it's important to mention that this is not only well known and popular among individuals. I think you're so respected here in Bad Ragaz that you also have the approval of Olympic physicians as well.
Exactly. They are actually preparing for all these Olympic people who live in Switzerland, the athletes which are going to the Olympics. They come here to have treatments first or even afterwards, and they're recognized as the Swiss Olympic Medical Center.
Theresia Ling, a native daughter of Bad Ragaz in eastern Switzerland. Thank you so much for taking us around your village and showing us what there is to see. And there is so much to see, so much to do here. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.
Thank you. Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs. SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.